Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation is the lection read to you just a few moments ago. On any list of the most prestigious positions in America, the clergy sometimes come in as high as eighth, if they make the cut at all. Yet in God's eyes, we know that this is a noble task, for as St. Paul told his young co-worker Timothy, if anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, a bishop, a pastor, he desires a noble task. Over the last 15 years as a district president, I've had the opportunity to step back and to take a look at this noble task from a slightly different perspective. And what I've come to see is that things have changed dramatically since I was ordained. It used to be that the pastors were among the most respected people in the community, but things have changed. And now pastors are often looked upon as the local holy man who is living in fantasy land out of touch with reality. The media often portrays us as fools, and some of us perhaps really are. This noble task has been tarnished by the public sins of many of those who are famous and some not so famous, and have brought down off of the pedestal their Herr Pastor to a level in which many people look upon their pastor as little more than a hired man. At the same time, the expectations that congregations have of their pastor has grown so dramatically that it's almost unreasonable. They want a conservative, dynamic, visionary pastor who's 26 years old with 40 years of experience, who's good working with youth, but spends all of his time in the nursing homes with the shut-ins. Someone who is out in the eye of the public, but always in his office whenever they need to look for him. People with the preaching skills of Dr. Meyer and the business acumen of Donald Trump? Or is it the hair of Donald Trump? The hair of Dr. Meyer, I hear that's to be eliminated later today. Many people are convinced that their pastors do little or nothing except perhaps maybe 1 or 2 hours a week on Sunday mornings. And all the while, pastors are being pulled in so many different directions. They're under tremendous stress in what they thought was to be a noble task. A study done some years ago said that 50% of the clergy across denominational lines are under stress and near burnout. 75% say they deal with spiritual crises at least one time a month. They are discouraged and they are hurting, and many of them come to my office looking for a call anywhere else in the world except where they're serving right now. I remember Dr. Al Berry once saying, we have a bundle of disheartened, downtrodden pastors who simply crave encouragement. Well, there are plenty of reasons why St. Paul might have been discouraged. He wrote to the Corinthians that the hardships that he endured, the shipwrecks, the beatings, all of the critics who hounded him every day, all the pressure that he was under at times was more than he could possibly bear, and that he had become discouraged. But then he began this section of chapter 4 with these famous words, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. We have this ministry. And in the chapters before this, he describes this ministry. It's a ministry that brings righteousness and life and salvation to God's people. Or as we heard in chapter 3, it has the power of the Holy Spirit to transform people's lives. We have this ministry by the mercy of God. Paul also wrote to Timothy, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent man. I was shown mercy. The grace of the Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Paul knew that he didn't deserve this noble call. He hadn't earned the right to be a pastor. He was called by God's mercy and grace. And as you know, Paul was always overwhelmed by God's mercy and grace. That grace of God was always sufficient for him. It was all that he ever needed in his ministry. It was this mercy and grace of God that gave him strength and faith and love to carry out the work that God had called him to do, to prevent him from becoming discouraged and quitting the ministry. A discouraged pastor once went to his district president, and he laid out this long laundry list of all the things that were going wrong in his ministry. And he asked the district president, "Do you think I ought to resign? I'm tired. I'm burned out." And the district president said to him, "Son, never consider quitting, because the angels around the throne of God envy you and the work that you do." Well, that's the kind of encouragement I'm convinced that every pastor needs. And for that matter, it's the same kind of encouragement that every seminary student needs. In those times when the papers and the tests seem overwhelming, and the family issues and the financial issues pile up, and you grow tired, and you wonder whether this is really the noble task for you. This mercy and grace of God kept Paul from succumbing to the ways of the world. He said, "We've renounced secret and shameful ways. We don't use deceptions or distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." His message was always simply, "We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." Paul recognized the most important truth of all about himself. He was a sinful man. He called himself the chief of sinners. And I suspect that every one of us here could give Paul a run for the money on claiming that particular title. He could never preach about himself. But with the heart of a true pastor, he sought to lead his people to join him beneath the cross of Jesus, to know the power of God's love and the forgiveness of their sins. He sought to build people up in their faith. He saw himself as a lowly servant. And so Paul used the imagery of a jar of clay. He saw himself simply as a jar of clay. That's what the Lord had called him. The Lord said, "This man is my instrument, my chosen vessel, my jar to carry my name before the Gentiles and the people of Israel." In the offices of Iowa District West, where I serve, there are a number of these clay pots. I believe they were left there by my predecessor, who had made a mission trip to Ghana. They couldn't have been very expensive. They're not beautifully adorned. They're kind of weak, fragile, easily broken. But imagine the treasures that the mothers of Ghana put into pots like these. Food and nourishment to feed their hungry babies. Water which refreshed and gave life. We are jars of clay. We are imperfect. We are fragile. We are crackpots. We are sinners, chief of sinners. But the Lord has put a treasure in each and every one of us. It's a word of God's mercy and grace. It's a message of forgiveness and eternal life. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has made his light shine into our hearts so that we might see the face of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we are so privileged with the opportunity to share this good news with others, to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, to feed and nourish hungry souls with God's word, to administer the sacraments to refresh parched people, to forgive the sins of those who are discouraged by them, to open the gates of heaven. Whenever St. Paul talked about his ministry, there was always this note of thanksgiving and praise and joy. Later in the same letter, he wrote words to the Corinthians that I'd share with you today. He said, "I've got great confidence in you. I take great pride in you. I'm greatly encouraged, and my joy knows no bounds. There is the work of the seminary. And all of us here together, from the Board of Regents to the administration, the faculty, the staff, the students, their families, we're all called to be helpers of that kind of joy in the formation of men for pastoral ministry and deaconesses for mercy ministries, for a noble task, for a prestigious position. It's all about the formation of jars of clay. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.